to the end, 18. And you may find that on page 82 of your pew Bibles. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandments I have written for their instruction." Then Moses set out with Joshua, his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them." When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days, the cloud covered the mountain. And on the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain. And he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 9, which can be found in the Church Bible on page 984. Page 984. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a very high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came, touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Sunday next before Lent. So you know what I'm supposed to tell you, don't you? You've got 3 days now to work out what you're going to give up for Lent and what you're going to take up for Lent, what you're going to start doing that you've not been doing before, what you're going to give up doing which you should never have started in the first place, what you're going to be doing. But I'm not going to tell you that this morning. I'm going to tell you something very different. I'm going to tell you to do something. Now, I could just give you a bit of advice and suggest you might like to do something. Well, I'm going to tell you what to do this morning. And what I'm going to tell you to do is stop. Just stop. That's what happened at the Transfiguration. And I'm going to explain that with an illustration about my own life. This time last month I was here, and the day after I went to the Isle of Man on holiday to see my wife's sister. And you get there by going train to Heathrow, little plane from Heathrow to Ronald's Way, and then I hire a car. So I got to the airport to get on this plane, and it's a small propeller plane run by Logan Air. So it's not a jet, it's a little plane. And I could see out of the window down to where the planes were, where I was shortly to go. And there was this little plane that was going to be mine, and beside it was this massive 747 from Canada Air, and another one that from Etihad Airways. And it's just as if those big planes were going to say, get out of my way. Just this little plane, and that's the one I had to get on. So you get on it, and it went all the way around the airport on these taxiways. And I'm telling you, if you would like an airside guided tour of Heathrow, have one of those little plane journeys. It went everywhere. It took absolute ages to get all the way around until it got to the end of the runway. And then, of course, it got to the end of the runway and stopped. Now, I know why. They're checking the flaps, they're checking all the instrumentation, and they're waiting for the sign from on high to say, now's the moment, off you go. And when it gets the signal, you feel that rush and the G-force behind you, don't you? And you, off you go until you get to the point of no return, and then you're off in the air. And it was a good time, if you're asking. It was fine. I'm thinking, yeah, that's a good illustration for today. Because what Jesus did before heading off into Holy Week was several little tasks, of which the Transfiguration was really important. But before then, if you read in Matthew, what he did was go on a sort of tour all the way around the Holy Land with the disciples. He went as far west as he could go, to the Mediterranean Sea, to places like Tyre and Sidon. He went as far east into the Decapolis, the 10 towns east of the Jordan. And then he took them up north, as far north as he ever went. He took all the disciples up there to a place which is now called Banias. In those days, it was called Panaeus. And Pan, you know, Pan as in the god Pan and all that. Pan meant everything. And there they used to worship anything and everyone. In other words, every god you can imagine. It was a place where, a very strange place, Panaeus. But the Romans used to call it Caesarea Philippi. Yes? And so Jesus went up there, and he took the disciples down to where the source of the Jordan is. The Jordan begins at Caesarea Philippi, at Banias. And that's a good place for Jesus to say this to the disciples, because he is the source of all life, the source of the living water. And the Jordan meant such a lot, of course, to Jesus at that time. So at the right moment, he says to the disciples, who do people think I am? And of course, some think he's Elijah, some think he's one of the prophets and so on. Ah, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answers for them all, doesn't he? You're the Son of God. A very important time, after which there's more teaching, but he heads up the mountain to stop before that big journey starts. That big journey which would lead them through more teaching, but on, very shortly afterwards, Matthew says, into Palm Sunday, and then to the cleansing of the temple, and then to arguments with the Pharisees and Sadducees, in other words, to that point of no return, which would mean that he would definitely be going to his death on the cross. So you can see why it's important that he would stop, and that he would take the disciples there. But most of the disciples stay a little distance away, and he takes just those trusted inner three, Peter, James, and John, up the mountain. And they see him transfigured. And the word in Greek, which you will know anyway, is metamorphosis. So it wasn't just that he shone, it was a change. And we see Father, Son, and Spirit together. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Confirmation from God himself that Peter was right when he said to Jesus, "You are the Son of God." Isn't that wonderful that they had that blessing? But there's some wonderful and strange things happening in Matthew's gospel at this point. Yes, that comes at a very key moment. And I thought, why did they go up the mountain? Yes, for that moment of quietness in order that they can pray. Because it says that he took them up there to pray. When you pray, are you quiet? Or do you talk a lot? Do you say to God, here's the 49 things I want from you today. All right. Please can I have a good day? What else shall I say? Give me today my daily bread. Forgive me everything I'm going to sin in today and all of my sins yesterday. Oh, and all these people I want to pray about. So he gave them a great long shopping list. If prayer is conversation with God, when does God get a chance to get a word in edgeways with you? Have you thought about that? When I prayed this morning before I ate my breakfast, it was like that shopping list. But as I reminded myself this morning, before I'm reminding you now, if I'm in conversation with God, if I'm connected with God 24 hours a day, which I am, then 23 hours and 55 minutes is his time to speak to me in that prayer time. So I'm hoping that my ears are open all the time to listen to him, because I know that his ears are always open to listen to me for the times when I do ask him. So the time of prayer with Jesus and the disciples, I think, was there for God to speak in prayer to them. And he did. We heard the voice of God. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," followed by the instruction, "Listen to him." God's instruction to us. Something I find rather strange is that that's in Matthew chapter 17. It's in Mark chapter 9. It's in Luke chapter 9. But it's not in John. Peter, James, and John were there. Who is the one of those who wrote the gospel? John. Then why didn't he put it in? Because it's important. There must be a reason, mustn't there? There's a clue in the fact that that's the second time when we hear, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," isn't it? When was the other one? Jesus' baptism, wasn't it? I wonder whether John was at Jesus' baptism as well. He was a disciple of John the Baptist, so it's quite possible he was a John. The baptism of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," is in Matthew. It's in Mark. It's in Luke. But it's not in John. Isn't that remarkable? Why not? Well, here's my reason. I think that St. John didn't want us to think that the only two occasions when Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were together were those. Because as I've just said about prayer, Father, Son, Holy Spirit are together as God and inhabiting our prayers and all our circumstances all of the time. Because the one thing John wanted to say was, Jesus is God. So let's take that for read. Now there's something else. What about at the Transfiguration? What were they praying and talking about? Because you remember Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets were all that were there, weren't they? Moses, because he brought the law. Elijah, because he brought prophecy. And the law and the prophets were fulfilled in Jesus. He said so in the Sermon on the Mount, didn't he? "I've not come to destroy the law and the prophets, I've come to fulfill them." So they're there. But what were they talking about? It says they were talking. Wouldn't you want to know, Peter, James, and John, What are they talking about? Of course you want to know. Matthew doesn't tell us. Mark doesn't tell us. But Luke does. He says they were talking about Jesus' departure. Departure, as in on the runway, up into the sky, and off you go into the difficult moments of Jesus' life. Departure obviously meaning his way out from this world into the kingdom of heaven. Yes? So the law and the prophets are there to say this is how Jesus will go from this world back to the kingdom of heaven. Because it was Moses who led the people into the Exodus and into their promised land. So it's right that they talk about Jesus' exodus from this world into the kingdom of heaven. Because they're talking about how we will achieve our exodus from this world into the kingdom of heaven. Yes? Interestingly, the word for departure that is used in the New Testament, the Greek word is exodus. Because that means departure or way out. Ex meaning out and odos meaning way. If you go into a bus in Greece or Greek Cyprus, the bus has probably got a door at the front when you go in and a door near the middle when you go out. And as you get to the bus above it, it says isodos, which means way in. And then when you've done your journey and they go out, the one that comes out, above the door is the word exodus. And it's that word which is in the Bible to say that's what they were talking about. They were talking about our exodus, our way into the kingdom of heaven. So the task today and in Lent is to allow Jesus to fulfill your exodus into the kingdom of heaven. How do we do that? Stop. Be in relationship with Jesus. Allow him to talk to you. In the Bible, when you read the word exodus, another little miracle was that I'm doing Bible in a year at the moment, which I usually do. And I'm in Exodus because it's fairly early in the year and it starts at Genesis, you see. So I'm in Exodus. And yesterday morning, I read Exodus 14, which is about the actual Exodus. You know, the whole book is about it, but the Exodus comes in Exodus 14. And I read Exodus 14:14, and this is what God said to Moses, for Moses to tell the people at the time of the Exodus. The Lord will fight for you. You just need to be still. How about that? The Lord will fight for you. You just need to be still. Be still and know that I am God. Jesus is God. This is my beloved son. In your prayers, tell him what you want, but more important than that, listen to him. Amen.